First of all, I would like to thank the organizers of Catholic Nice opportunity of the discussion of our results and for the investigation here, because I think it's a really unique situation to share the opinion concerning the subject of our research. And expecting that probably we will have some difficulties in interpretation, I would like to say that practically main scientific life of my activity was involved in shockwave physics. But according to my feeling, there is some parallel life concerning the study of nonlinear aspects of plasticity and failure in shockwave physics. And the subject, as usual, was presented in some physical mechanical meeting concerning failure and plasticity. And I would like to, and during the last 20 years, I with my team, we were involved in this subject concerning the study of relaxation properties, plasticity and failure of materials under dynamic and shockwave loading. And during the last maybe 10 years, we were involved in some special program between Russia and US, with the national labs in US, concerning the study of this phenomenon. According to my feeling, the investigation of shockwave propagation, it's really unique tool for understanding of relaxation phenomena in kinetic of failure, if we compare with some another condition of loading. Because, for instance, if you have characteristic deformation curve, typical for metals, yes, with some characteristic loading time that inverse strain rate, if you have enough sensitivity for the recording by the testing, we could never see this smooth diagram. As usually after elastic path, you could see this kind of the jerky flow. And in quasi-static condition of loading, it's very difficult to recognize all this kind of the finite amplitude disturbances and to measure, for instance, single from one. And because due to the position of recording system and interaction between these disturbances. And concerning the shockwave loading situation, it's very attractive, because when we have investigated bulk of volume and you will impose characteristic finite amplitude disturbances for small time comparable with characteristic time of sound propagation in the bulk of specimen, in this case, due to the study of the evolution of shockwave front, you could extract information about all relaxation phenomena and failure. And for instance, typical picture could be like that, because after this characteristic critical velocity, you have the splitting of shockwave in the so-called elastic precursor, which propagate with elastic speed. And this point in quasi-static diagram could be recorded as some transient area in time and in space, because due to the propagation of shock wave, of course, elastic precursor will move faster with delay of plastic front, and you could recognize on the plastic wave front all characteristics, special time evolution of this collective modes.
That point you're pointing out, that's the onset of plastic yield? Is that the yield stress? So everything up to there is nonlinear elastic?
Yes, of course. Okay. Of course. And the subject of investigation of shockwave evolution attracted during 50 years the attention of researchers and in strong link with collective behavior of defects. But, very important another thing there is, that when you impose finite amplitude disturbances, In this case, the shape of failure wave front is the consequence of relaxation properties of structure evolution, of structure due to the evolution. It means that not stress, but structure evolution could subject the shape of shortwave front in the comparable characteristic times. And in my around 20 years ago, we paid attention that this phenomenon can be linked with collective behavior of typical mesoscopic defects. And first of all, I would like to establish the linkage between mesoscopic defect evolution, collective properties in quasi-static loading and shock and dynamic loading. And then our attempts to develop statistics and phenomenology of collective behavior of defect ensembles in the spirit quite similar with the spirit that was presented in the talk by Professor Langer concerning generalization of Boltzmann-Gibbs, for instance, statistics for the system out of equilibrium. And what kind of the thermodynamic plasticity can be developed and some linkage with effective temperature. Because for mesoscopic system, as a system out of equilibrium, you could not use the ordinary temperature. And some illustration of our results considering dynamic crack propagation that was inspired, of course, by result by J. And some another phenomena related to dynamic and shock wave loading, for instance, failure wave. And considering the explanation of structural shock wave front, because some self-similar behavior of collective behavior of defect ensemble could subject self-similar structure of shock frame, shock wave front. And first of all, concerning the current state, in August it was big conference concerning shortwave loading, and in fact it's a fragment of my in my talk will be fragment of my keynote lecture at this shortwave conference, because just recently, 1 year ago, one leading researcher in the US, Jim Massey and Lalit Chabildas from Sandia, they paid attention concerning the main problems that there are in shockwave physics. And you can find that the same situation practically in all another area of plasticity and failure with different application, dynamic, quasi-static, creep, and so on and so on. And the final conclusion by Sen Chabildas was, what is the shock? Because after 50 years of study, very intensive study, due to the very sensitive applications, it's still open question, what is the shock? And I would like also to make quotation John Dillman, who is very famous scientist concerning the study of physics of plasticity. It's fresh paper in 2001 devoted to some aspects of shockwave failure, that in the field of shock compression of solids, discussion are sometimes inconsistent because description of mechanical states are misused. It's a similar situation in another area. And he tried to compare and to analyze some typical mistakes in the description of phenomena in solids when practically the similar approach could be used for elastic and plastic deformation. But there is very serious difference because plastic deformation is usually permanent, chaotic, and anything but affine. Plastic deformation is dissipated as heat as well as configuration entropy. It can be not recovered, and the deformation can propagate only slowly in the contradiction with elasticity. And now I would like to share with you some part of our indication. I'm mixing some research in the West and in Russia concerning the typical behaviors of mesoscopic defects, for instance, starting from dislocation pile-ups, because this kind of the scenario, Because this kind of the scenario of defect evolution is more or less typical for any metallic materials. When we have the pattern evolution from vein structure to leader structure and so on with the coordinating of structure, and there is this line of characteristic structure that could be observed versus characteristic density of dislocations. And the estimation of characteristic energy for each dislocation substructure that we presented show that there is bifurcation points and the area of the coexistence of two or more structures with some characteristic density of dislocations. It means that density of dislocation is not a unique parameter for characterization of system because we have the pattern. And also some extensive study was carried out our team with some other team in Russia concerning investigation of influence of typical microcracks and microshears on the development of failure, concerning characteristic size of defects and concentrations. And you could see that we have the matter with typical mesoscopic systems. Typical mesoscopic system. And also, according to my estimation, it was very important result containing statistics that were obtained by Barenblatt and Batvina concerning the establishment of the so-called statistical self-similarity of defect distribution. In the following data, in the distribution of concentration versus characteristic size of defects for different conditions of loading, fatigue, different cycle, tension, and it was established that it possible to find some characteristic scales in concentration and size when all these characteristic curves can be reduced to single. It means that different stages of failure of damage can be considered in self-similar manner due to the magnification of microscope for observation. And this statistical aspect is very important because it's possible to develop specific statistics, to assume specific statistics of defect distribution.
So here N is a density of defects? Is that?
It's not density.
What is it?
Yes, it's a concentration. Mm-hmm. Concentration, it's characteristic scale of defects. And also I would like to pay your attention concerning it's important for the development of description. If we compare, for instance, thermodynamic of elastic state and plastic state. The numerous parameters which correspond to behavior of system close to the minimum of thermodynamic potential could be reduced to the macroscopic description to elastic deformation. And after that, we could construct potential and to determine the elastic law in terms of free energy. In the case of plasticity, there is a question, what is the independent variables for thermodynamic potential? Because from time to time, there is attempt to formulate the plasticity in terms of potential also. But the thermodynamic variable for plasticity in the presence of defects, it could be only elastic deformation plus deformation induced by defects, but not plastic deformation. It's a Burgers vector, it's a density of dislocation loops, for instance, it's the area of dislocation loop. But concerning the plasticity, we need the formulation and understanding of the kinetics of the propagation of dislocation loads in characteristic time, and this time is the activation time. And if we have single dislocation, in this case, activation time could be close to the melting energy and so on. And temperature could be ordinary temperature. But if we have the mesoscopic system, in this case it's an open question, what is characteristic energy and what is the temperature? And, of course, it's very important question, what is the statistics for this kind of the system? Because it's not statistic like in mechanics. It's not statistic according to Gibbs distribution, like in thermodynamics, because characteristic energy of typical mesoscopic defects is quite different. It means that the open question, what is the statistic for this kind of the defects? And taking into account that dislocation pileups, micro-shear, micro-cracks as meso-defects, is the system out of equilibrium, out of equilibrium. We have used, I think, the elegant approach that was applied first time in Russia at the beginning of the 50s by Leontovich, when he proposed to generalize the Boltzmann-Gibbs statistics for system out of equilibrium due to the introduction of some effective force that could keep system in the virtually equilibrium state, but the system is not equilibrium. The problem is if we have some internal variables to determine this effective force. But in this case, we must redetermine also the energy and temperature. But in this case, if the system in equilibrium, we could use Boltzmann-Gibbs distribution. Practically the similar ideas was proposed during last decades as non-extensive statistic of superstatistic by Zales, Beck, due to the introduction of special distribution in energy, due to the change, due to the distribution function for inverse temperature or temperature. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of two approach, Boltzmann statistic plus flotation statistics. But since starting 20 years ago, we followed to Leontovich idea, we have used presentation for free energy, and I would like to show you for non-equilibrium free energy in the presence of effective field, where A is the value of effective force, to realize the procedure of the averaging and to determine characteristic free energy. But now we come back to a real mesoscopic system, and the first step is necessary to introduce variables which are responsible for plastic deformation and failure. And taking into account the results of experimental studies that we discussed with you, we introduced two typical microscopic variables for normal mode of translation, microcracks and microshears, where S is the volume in the case of microcrack, in this case is the shear intensity. The averaging of this microscopic parameter over the sum characteristic volume could give defect density tensor that in fact is defect-induced strain. Due to the dislocation nature of this kind of the mesoscopic defects, it's possible to obtain the estimation of characteristic energy in the presence of single defect without interaction with external field, and with because if we have nuclei with characteristic volume V0, due to the appearance of the defects with this characteristic, we have the pumping of the energy, elastic energy, in the close neighborhood. Its elastic modulus, R is the screening radius where single defect collects energy. And characteristic energy that was estimated for microshear and microcracks like this, it's much higher than for vacancies like equilibrium defects for classical thermodynamics. Considering distribution function, general distribution function must be determined for this kind of the variables due to the solution of Fokker-Planck equations, if we have knowledge about characteristic energy and dispersion properties of system. It's a multi-particle problem. But these results concerning self-similarity of statistics showed us that it's probably possible to use this stationary distribution, that is the stationary solution for Fokker-Planck equation, to determine characteristic energy of ensemble of defects. This term corresponds to the term that we discussed before, and this term represents the interaction of single defect, microshear or microcracks, with the ensemble of another defects and external stress field. In fact, it's mean field approximation. And Leontovich showed that mean field approximation exactly corresponds his idea concerning effective field for out of equilibrium state. In this case, the procedure of the averaging includes the average of microscopic tensor with this distribution function over all possible sizes and orientation of defects. When we introduce dimensionless variables, we could get this dimensionless presentation, and when we obtained one, we were really impressed. When all constants that we could see in the energy of defects were reduced to single delta, and delta it's possible to show as the ratio of two constants in the energy of defects represents the ratio of two characteristic scale, characteristic screening radius to characteristic radius of defect nuclei. It was very exciting result for us. And then, yes, it's possible generalized statistics if we will introduce distribution function of defect nuclei in terms of distribution function for delta. In this case, we will have generalized statistics. But I would like to show you the results of the solution of this equation for the case of uniaxial loading and simple shear loading. For the case of uniform distribution of defect nuclei, when this equation was solved for the case of simple shear, we obtained the following solution for deformation induced by defects versus stress for different delta. Solution revealed the existence of three characteristic nonlinearities and different ranges of delta that allowed us to introduce the interpretation of typical mechanical state, quasi-brittle, ductile, and fine-grained state depending on characteristic nonlinearities. For small grains, we have this monotonous. When we pass this critical value, this monotonic dependence will change into this, and this metastability corresponds to orientational transition on ensemble of defects, because the procedure of the averaging includes also orientation modes. When we pass this critical value of delta, this finite jump could change in infinite jump, and this cut of the nonlinearity, which corresponds to transition to quasi-brittle failure. Of course, knowledge.
Fine grain
here. It corresponds to the following, because delta represents the ratio of two characteristic scale. For instance, we have characteristic volume with grains. Grain boundary could be considered as characteristic defect nuclei with property of R0. And R is the distance, in fact, between defects. If R0 in this case more than 1.3, in this case we have degeneration of orientation modes of defects. Because in this case, in the fine-grained state, orientation modes of defects, it's not too important. This result was important for us. It's a very good question, because understanding of this transition from this to this allowed us to explain the violation of voltage law when we go for ordinary plastic response to fine-grained response for nanocrystalline materials.
So in this case, R0 is the size of your brain? Is that the R, small R0?
No, it's not necessary.
It's the size of your...
It's the size of defect nuclei. It's the property of grain boundaries.
And then the large R is some...
It's the distance. It's, in fact, size of grain.
To the next...
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yes.
And so this is the case where that distance is large.
Yes.
There's
yes.
No effective interaction.
No effective interaction.
isn't R, didn't you define the big R as the length of the characteristic length for the interactions between the...
Yes.
So it's not necessarily that the difference, the distance between greens.
It means that in the case of fine grain state, when we go to this response, we have degeneration of long-range orientation modes, because for elasticity, it's long-range tensor mode. And in this case, we have degeneration of this mode.
In the delta greater than 1, please.
Hmm?
Are you talking about the delta much less than 1, or the delta much greater than
1? It's more than 0.13. In the range between 1 and 1.3, we have very pronounced interaction between orientation modes of defects and the appearance of this kind of the metastability.
So what does it mean about this? How does the fine-grained state...
I'm sorry?
So how does the fine-grained state fail?
According to our understanding, after this transition from ordinary plastic response to fine-grained states corresponds the path of characteristic size of grains when collective orientation modes of defects is degenerated. No instability in this case.
So it's just homogeneous flow in that case.
Yes, homogeneous flow, it's good. Mm-hmm. And understanding of these non-linearities of course showed us the shape of characteristic free energy potential.
And so just remind me, because the P here is like a defect density, essentially, or a...
It's deformation induced by defects.
It's the amount of deformation.
It's exactly deformation induced by defects. We have characteristic volume in the presence of defects, not motion, but in this case, the defects could have the part in deformation. It means that total deformation is the sum of elastic plus P.
So I should think about this as a stress strain curve.
Yes, the stress strain curve in this case it will go like that. In this case. And in this case it will be like that. In this case. But knowledge about these responses allowed us, of course, and as example, in terms of free energy versus P, to estimate characteristic shape of free energy. For instance, for quasi-brittle, for this cross-section, you can see this point corresponds to this minimum, and this point corresponds to this maximum, and due to the approach to the critical point, we have degeneration. And knowledge about these all non-linearities allowed us to formulate free energy in terms of defect density tensor, taking into account characteristic tensor modes, using Ginzburg-Landau approach, but instead temperature, like in phase transformation of Ginzburg-Landau, because change of non-linearity corresponds to the scaling parameter, we have the dependence of the coefficient of expansion versus delta, when characteristic coefficient could change the sign when you pass characteristic critical points.
So these prefactors correspond to particular terms in the free energy. Is there a physical interpretation for the different expansion terms?
Of course.
Because some of them you have as being functions of a deep delta star and some of the...
Yes, because in Landau theory, we have this term for free energy. A1T, characteristic temperature of transition. And in our case, for interpretation of these all curves, we have the following presentation.
So delta is in some sense playing the role of temperature in the...
Of course. Yes. It means that delta plays the role of effective temperature.
What's a non-equilibrium free energy? Such thing in statistical physics.
Non-equilibrium free energy. From statistical physics, it's it was my long introduction at the beginning. We could introduce potential according to definition in thermodynamics only for equilibrium case. And if we want to play in the thermodynamic game, yes, we must formulate free energy potential at the same sense. And it was the reason that I paid attention concerning the definition of potential of free energy for non-equilibrium state in the spirit of Leontovich, or like in super statistics. Uh-huh. Is free energy, is the potential in the presence of external field and interaction between defects, and if we have not equilibrium, in this case we have evolution. And I will show in the following what we do in this case.
I mean, if I start from a microscopic model, what is the non-equilibrium energy?
I started from microscopic model, and microscopic model gave me this kind of solution. But this kind of the solution in equilibrium, it means for T to infinite, could be only the following scenario. If I could change stress very slowly, in this case, due to the relaxation of P, I could follow to this curve. But in this case, when I go to metastability area, I could go only this Maxwell way. But if I will follow faster, I could penetrate in the area of metastability and to show what will happen.
So you're saying these results are from a particular assumption about the microscopics.
Yes.
And then this is sort of a phenomenological description.
Yes, starting after statistic, when we have this presentation for free energy, macroscopic, I could develop phenomenology. And it was done because when free energy was formulated in terms of two parameter, defect density tensor and delta, and if I consider the non-equilibrium case, in this case I will have evolution inequality. Free energy must decrease. And due to the...
Isn't there a necessary relation, though, between the defect density and delta, if delta is
yes.
related to the distance?
Generally, yes. Because due to the increase of defect, characteristic size of defects, I have, for instance, I have this deformation curve. And for instance, I load specimen to this point. And at point one, initial step, I have loading from this point. In this case, I have some initial delta according to initial structure distribution. But when I reach this point, I have some new distribution of defects. And if I will have loading from this state, the previous defects could play the role of defect nuclei. And in this case, I have renormalization of delta. And due to this evolution inequality, I could get two kinetic equations for defect density tensor and for structural scaling parameter. And of course, definition of total deformation as elastic plus deformation induced by defects. And then we investigated the properties of this equation for defect density tensor for different ranges of delta. And what we obtained? If we equal zero of the left part. In this case, you could investigate the properties of this equation from point of view heteroclinic. In term derivative of P in space versus P. And you can see that for this curve, for these thermodynamic branches, we have elliptic properties of this equation. For these thermodynamic branches. But when you pass delta star to go to in metastability area, you have this separatrice, and the group properties will change. When you pass delta C to go from this to this, you have new type of heteroclinic, and investigation of properties of this equation on different type of heteroclinic showed that in the range of ellipticity, we have the eigenfunction spectrum, which corresponds Fourier spectrum, it's obvious. But when we pass delta star to go to metastable response, to go to metastability, in this case, you could see generation of solitary waves. And these solitary waves represent the area with highly orientated defects. And this front corresponds to the area of transition. And in terms of Professor Langer, it's the image of Schmidt transformation zone.
But in this case, it has a velocity, so it's moving.
Of course, because solution for in this range gives characteristic velocity of orientation transformation front.
And the chi, so I noticed in the previous slide you introduced this chi parameter that's tied into the. So that's like a
characteristic length scale that you're in. Characteristic length scale corresponds to the length of metastability and non-locality due to the presence of this non-locality term. It's a typical term in non-locality means long-range interaction between defects. But when we go from this kind of non-linearity to this with infinite jump, this kind of the solution will change to another solution which corresponds to the set of collective modes with blow-up dynamics. I'm sorry. With blow-up dynamics. It means that there is solution when we have explosive-like growth of defects in some characteristic scales. With some characteristic scale in solution in space and time. It's called blow-up region.
So we should think about this as some material, it's sort of one-dimensional, and we're applying some stress across the entire material.
Yes.
And looking at how the defect population
will
have,
yes.
Changes with time.
Yes, yes. It means that depending on the value of delta, structural scaling parameter, we have different scenario depending on characteristic modes. And understanding the existence, for instance, in experiments concerning plastic deformation of specimen using the speckle interferometry, you could see these collective modes like solitary waves of deformation. It's well-known results. Yes, and understanding of the existence of this characteristic solution, it was stimulus for us to carry out experimental research. And first of all, I would like to pay concerning your attention concerning our research in the field of dynamic crack propagation after J. Because you're familiar with these results, when crack begins to branch after some characteristic velocity, and taking into account our experience at setup in high-speed recording, we realized the following experiment. The statement of problem was the same. like an experiment of J. It was preloaded PMMA state. When we initiated crack and we recorded the crack dynamics using high-speed camera with resolution 10 and minus 8, coupled with photoelasticity method. And we found the following. First of all, we confirmed characteristic velocity that was established by J, 0.4, when, and we observed after this characteristic velocity, the generation at the crack tip of stress waves. And I will give our explanation a little bit later. But we established not only characteristic critical velocity that was found first time by J, but also the second. And it's a high-speed image before critical velocity, after critical velocity, and after second critical velocity. You call C pronounced branching. When delta cracks, begins behave in self-keeping regime. What's the nature of generation of these waves? The nature of generation of these waves is nucleation and growth delta crack at the crack tip zone.
Where's the Rayleigh wave speed here? It's, so in your velocity scale?
Velocity scale.
It's 1,000.
Okay. Yes, of course. It's 1,000. Uh-huh. And in this, you could see our measurement of the concentration of mirror zones in the fracture surface. Because it's characteristic structure of failure surface after crack propagation, before critical velocity and after critical velocity. And then we measured, using the laser profilometry, characteristic roughness before critical velocity and after critical velocity. And this, you could see the image by new U-digital interferometer with resolution starting from few nanometers of this picture.
Could you go back one?
Yes.
And what is this mirror zone concentration?
It's mirror zone concentration which correspond to transition from this branch to this branch. Characteristic. Characteristic size of mirror zones
so
around 0.3 millimeter.
So is that the size of those little
rings? And
which one of those little lines corresponds to that picture?
Just before critical velocity, we have appearance of mirror zones. And after critical velocity, the concentration of mirror zones decreases more sharply.
Concentration of mirror
zones. It's a number of mirror zones.
What's
that? It's a number of mirror zones.
So are each one of those a mirror zone? No, so this is how I'm
talking about. Each size of mirror zones corresponds to the nuclei of delta crack.
So if you have a high concentration, does that mean that they're getting small and that you're getting a lot of
crack? Yeah, it means that you have more places for generation of delta cracks. And I will come back to you this very important question. And concerning explanation, because due to our experience, what is the explanation of this kind of the transition from steady state to branching regime? According to the properties of solid with defects in the terms of characteristic nonlinearity and collective modes that we established, there is two types of self-similar solution in the system. The first type corresponds self-similar solution of stress distribution at the crack tip as the background of stress intensity factor conception. But also there is self-similar solution which corresponds this distribution and this law of crack generation of multiply blow-up structures that we established. This corresponds this. It's also self-similar solution. And in fact, transition from steady state to the branching region is the competition between two self-similar solutions, two attractors. Because in system we have two attractors, which correspond to two types of self-similar solution. If we pump not enough energy, in this case, the daughter crack could create exactly at the crack tip, and we have steady state. This kind of the propagation. When we pump more energy or crack propagate faster, in this case, daughter cracks could generate it in some characteristic area, in some characteristic angle, and will provocate the branching, because we have the competition between two attractors. It's the presence of second attractor. And we predicted this scenario, when we when your results we found, we recalled immediately, yes, it's the same practically, we recalled immediately our results that we obtained due to the following experiment. It was PMMA rod that was accelerated up to the velocity 1 km/s. And due to the collision, shock wave propagate along the rod, and due to the reflection after free surface, provocate multiple spall failure, separation of specimen. And we combined this experiment concerning high-speed loading with X-ray and optical measurement of characteristic time of failure. And we plotted this log characteristic time of failure versus stress amplitude due to the propagation along the specimen. And you can see that there is this branch when characteristic time decreases with increase of stress. But after some critical stress amplitude, this dependence practically doesn't change. And transition to this branch corresponds to generation of cross-section with mirror zones. But for instance, in point A, which corresponds to the high amplitude of stress, you could see small mirror zones. In the cross-section with less amplitude, you could see the biggest mirror zones. And at this transient point, you can see a generation of single crack which propagates along specimen, which correspond to the beginning of steady state and transition to branching region. And concerning your question about characteristic, this specimen corresponds to cross-section, this cross-section and this cross-section. And with a goal to confirm our results concerning the presence of two attractors, two solutions that could attract the system behavior, we carried out in the development of few experiments the following. The statement was like you. But we have used the laser coupled with photoelasticity, and we recorded stress signal in the point deviated from the point of crack propagation on 4 millimeter due to the approaching of crack to this point. And you can see when crack propagates in steady state region, you could see the smooth diagram. When crack begins to branch, you could see the finite amplitude disturbances induced by daughter crack generation. And we plot these measurements on the phase portrait sigma point sigma. And for steady state, you could see this regular pattern, which corresponds to ellipticity of equation when crack propagates practically in elastic materials. And daughter crack exactly at the crack tip. But when we go to the crunching branching region, you could see this stochastic distribution of points, which corresponds strange attractor with coordinates. with this new coordinates for system symmetry. And after that, we understood that in system with defects, in the presence of very pronounced damage localization phenomena and dropping of symmetry, we have transition according to this response to the system with intermittency, like Kolmogorov system. And it's typical system with flow dynamics, because characteristic time of the evolution of these modes is less than characteristic time of speed propagation, of velocity. Sound speed propagation, I'm sorry. Yes. And then when we obtained these results, we investigated symmetry properties of system in terms of correlation factor. We estimated, due to the calculation of correlation function, correlation indexes here, and we obtained that for steady state correct propagation, you have 0.8, but for branching, you have 0.4. It means that 0.8 correlation index that was measured due to the roughness, it's a mixing of two, which correspond first and second attractor. Yes. And when we established these three characteristic branches, we began to understand the possible explanation of statistics that could be observed due to the dynamic failure. Because for first branch, it could be statistic induced by stress. For intermediate branch, when we have the influence of two attractors, this and this, we have variable statistics. But when we go to this, we have degeneration of variable statistics to Poisson statistics. It was predicted first time by Dennis Grady from Sandia in experiments. And it was shown, it was application for many, many experimental data, including the distribution of mass in the universe. When we have degeneration of these statistics to Poisson statistics, and at the limit, we could predict the uniform statistics. And understanding of this third branch, because at the end of third branch, characteristic size of dot crack must be smaller, smaller, and smaller. It was stimulus for us for explanation of the following phenomena and to carry out special experiment. I would like to recall you that, for instance, this experiment by Neil Born from the Cavendish. Experiment is the following. You have glass, like glass, and you have shockwave loading with characteristic speed of the collision of more than 1 kilometer per second. And you could observe the following picture. It's the width of specimen. It's the first front of shock. Then for next high-speed framing, you could see the back front of shock. Then you have some gap, and then the appearance of some wave which propagates with some group velocity, and behind of this wave, material is completely filed. And since we understood that these mechanisms correspond to resonance excitation of these collective modes like blow-ups, we carried out the following experiment together with the Cavendish. It was also fused quartz specimen, cylindrical rod, that was accelerated, and due to the collision with the wall, we had high-speed framing. And you can see the appearance of two dark lines. The first dark line, due to the reflection from the surface of the collision. This dark line, due to the appearance of shock, elastic field propagate. But starting from 1.3, you could see the third, which corresponds to generation of failure wave and propagation. When we process this experimental data, we found its characteristic velocity of crack propagation, or elastic wave propagation, its characteristic velocity of failure wave propagation. It means that damage localization area that could be excited in resonance region, it could propagate in self-keeping region. No stress, but this area could propagate. Yes. And due to the understanding of non-linearity which corresponds generation of these modes, because resonance excitation of these modes corresponds generation of failure wave, damage localization zone that could propagate in self-keeping region. We have used presentation for free energy according to this non-linearity. It's dynamic equation for stress. It's equation for strain, which represent elastic plus deformation induced by defects. And solution of these equations confirms this scenario. We have back front of shock. And with some delay, we have generation of failure wave, which propagates with some characteristic velocity. And characteristic time of delay is the time in self-similar solution that was established, because this kind of the solution needs characteristic time to grow in the blow-up region. Yes, it means that excitation of failure wave corresponds to the limit case of this branch, and in fact failure wave represents the smallest size of daughter cracks that could be initiated at the crack tip. But it's possible to excite in shock. I hope that it's possible to excite due to the very fast crack propagation, but how to pump enough energy to provocate this region. Yes, and I have time.
Yeah, we'd like to have some question time too.
Mm-hmm. And now I'd like to go to, because to my deep regret.
Since the previous time.
Yes.
What is plotted
here? It's just image. It's the image of stress. Stress distribution is the stress. It's the distribution of stress is the target. We have impact from this side. You could, due to the impact, you could form elastic stress with the elastic wave with the back front is here.
But is it time and position?
It's the time and the position. And this is defect density with pronounced boundary.
What's the characteristic velocity of the failure wave?
Characteristic velocity of failure wave, you could see. In this case, it's a little bit less than characteristic velocity of sound propagation, because it's a wave, it's the elastic wave.
There's nothing to do with the plastic wave?
No. Because it's Fuchs quartz. It's Fuchs quartz.
So in this case, you see this sort of, when you're calling them blowing up solution.
Yes.
But you don't see evidence of the soliton-like solution in experiments in this case?
For this materials, no, because for these materials, it's unique response due to failure, due to the damage localization, neoplasticity.
Depending on the initial preparation of the material or in a different...
Of course, but it's Fuchs quartz. And now, according to your question, I would like to go to situation for plastic relaxation.
So you have this failure wave that propagates, but you don't have... The sample doesn't actually break in two, right? It's just...
Yes.
Does it make
any... Yes. Yeah. Of course. It's of course.
It's completely exploded.
Yes. But of course, due to the some relaxation, failure wave could stop in some lengths. But in ideal picture, if failure wave will propagate, it will be dispersed in sand. And now I would like to pay attention concerning specific behavior of shocked material due to the plastic response. For instance, if we impose shock in plastic materials with different amplitude, and you could measure few work concerning the technique of measurement of parameters. I think it's better to show here. Experiment is the following. You have the gun. You have investigated material. And you have the projectile, which could be accelerated by gas. And due to the collision, you could form inside of specimen shock wave, which could propagate, and due to the relaxation property of material, could change the shape of front. And if you will have this surface like mirror, you could use the Doppler interferometry. It's a laser beam. One is here, and the second could be go to this. And then due to the reflection, you have interferometric pattern. And you could restore the velocity of this backpull front according to the shape of front. And due to the measurement of this, it was obtained that for different stress amplitude, you have this shape of velocity at the free surface. And it was shown, but for it possible from this experimental data recalculate strain rate, plastic strain rate. And it was shown that there is this kind of the dependence of plastic strain rate versus stress amplitude, and every time it was for power. It was established by Swigel and Grady in Sandia. It was unresolved puzzle. What's the nature of this universality? And in the framework of special project that we had during last year with Sandia, we had made the attempt to explain this four universality. We showed that this four power universality is a consequence, because for plastic materials with this solitary type of solution, because due to the orientation transition and due to the rescaling, due to the delta kinetics, we have excitation of these solitary waves, and these solitary waves could subject the relaxation dynamics. And in the condition that we discussed with you, we calculated this problem according to this equation that we discussed with you, and we obtained this front of shock with four power law. And I think it's
the 1, 2, and 3 correspond to
One correspond to this branch. We go 2 correspond to this transition, and 4 correspond to this. But if we have very high shock, in this case the relaxation dynamics according to the delta could not appear, and we could go only along this branch, and it leads to the so-called overdriven shock, when plastic wave for high amplitude of shock could move faster than elastic. Yes, and I think that these results could represent, for instance, interest in the linkage with presentation by Professor Langer. Because investigations of deformation response of material in a large range of strain rate revealed three characteristic regimes which correspond thermally activated and overdriven shock with some gap. Concerning activation law, it corresponds this transition. But this transition, due to the change of delta or scaling, it was shown, correspond to this gap. It is not thermally activated. And I would like to show you our last experimental data concerning the definition of characteristic temperature, which corresponds to this not thermally activated region. We realized the following experiment. It was simple SHSP experiment for kappa with these diagrams, deformation diagram. It's initial state of kappa. It's after deformation. It's the image of surface due to the shear localization area at the surface. And when we scan, it's the roughness. And we process this roughness in the term of generalization of fluctuation dissipation theorem. That was discussed by Professor Langer. And we obtained the following, the dependence of temperature for different scale. It's scale-dependent temperature. For scale which corresponds to very small shear bands or shear transformation zones, we have the area of scale with the temperature close to room. But this room temperature just from calculation of roughness. And then we have transition to some another effective temperature for large scales, which correspond to this gap. It means the temperature, structure-induced temperature. Practically it's all for some small exclusion.